You are listening to Season 2, Episode 18 of Talk and Rock with GMH.
Let's talk and rock. It's Talk and Rock with GMH.
Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast where we talk rock. I'm your host, GMH, and I know I haven't been here for a while. Not because I was off doing anything necessarily extremely exciting. Just because I just couldn't wrap my head around finding the time again to make these episodes. Yet, I am super excited to be back after a brief hiatus. I just actually, before recording this part of this episode, finished up another really cool interview, which I'm sure will be a popular one and one that you all will be excited for. So stay tuned for that. Now, because episodes aren't as regular as they once were, which is fine for this podcast because on this podcast, I'm not updating you necessarily every week. However, I'm bringing interviews to you when I can, which is kind of cool because I get different audiences depending on the interview. But if you want to do me a favor and follow or subscribe to the podcast depending on where you're listening, that helps so much. Or at the very least, go follow us on Instagram or Twitter at Talk and Rock Pod, or head over to the website for more episodes, www.talkandrockpod.com. That is greatly appreciated. Now, not to say that I haven't been still musically active. I've actually been using my free time instead of working on podcast stuff to actually work on some of my own music, because I've sort of fallen back into that, which is something that I sort of gave up on for a little while. But I love the podcast a lot, and I love doing this. And I'm excited to bring to you today an interview with a member from the Dirty Catfish Brass Band. Now, you'll hear in the episode, I've actually never seen this band live, which is what this band is nearly entirely driven on. But we got a chance to speak about the fact that they are working on new music and a new record. So stay tuned for that interview coming up next. Now, this week I watched, I think it was a documentary done by Vice about Wheatus and their song Teenage Dirtbag. And I had no clue about the meaning behind the song and about the struggle of the song, because it is really a one-hit wonder. It's like the definition of a one-hit wonder. However, I never knew what drove the song to become a hit, and I never knew the struggles that the band had to actually go through to firstly make this song a hit, because the lyrics were controversial for the time, you know, above that line when he brings a gun to school, or just the meaning behind it, because it had a much deeper meaning behind it than just the fact that, than just this high school story, which, if you listen, the guy who wrote the song didn't even go through this. He was writing as if he did, but he didn't even necessarily go through this specifically. It was just a general high school experience, and it was sort of neat to hear his take on the experience making the song, production, and all that sort of stuff. So That inspired me to sort of listen to more Wheatus, and I have before, but I hadn't for a while, and I really like their sound. I like their singer's voice a lot, and one of my favorite songs that I've been listening to by them is Truffles, which is the opening song to their self-titled album, which has Teenage Dirtbag on it. So that is this week's song of the week, Truffles by Wheatus. It's nowhere close to their most popular song at all. But it's got a rich sound to it, and the vocals are amazing, and the creativity behind the song, it's just super awesome. And after hearing the story of how this whole album was created, it's just amazing to me. No, I won't keep you waiting any longer. Let's jump into this interview with Kyle from the Dirty Catfish Brass Band. Hey everyone, so today our special guest on the podcast is Kyle from the Dirty Catfish Brass Band. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. So yeah. firstly, do you mind just sort of, for those who don't know you, specifically introducing yourself and how you sort of got involved with the band and what you do in the band?
Okay, sure. Yeah. So I'm Kyle. I'm the tenor saxophone player in Dirty Catfish Brass Band, as well as the Barry saxophone player. I'm also the band's manager and behind the scenes guy. So I'll be the one booking the shows and getting everybody organized for recording sessions and rehearsals, and
awesome.
Do a fair amount of the, I guess, the creative work as well, writing a good amount of the music. And
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did this group sort of get started, and what was the idea to sort of have a brass band like this that is maybe unique to somewhere like Winnipeg?
Yeah, it's a pretty cool story. Our keyboard player, Aaron, had gone down to New Orleans, I believe, for the 2011 Jazz Fest.
Okay.
And just loved the music. He had such a great time checking everything out. And when he came home, he's like, man, why don't we have anything like this in Winnipeg?
Yeah.
So he knew a bunch of guys. He had been playing for years with the Solutions.
Okay.
At they did like a Tuesday night at the Cavern for years. So he knew a bunch of different horn players, and there were a few of us that knew each other from going to university together and from playing in different bands together. So we all kind of just got together and started that project. But he was the guy that got us all together.
Cool. And I guess you guys sort of just had your 10-year anniversary.
Yeah.
Firstly, how did that show go? Was it good to like be in a room with a bunch of people, especially in the Park Theater? Like,
yeah, man, it was maybe, I think it was our first show indoors since the pandemic, maybe one or two before that. But we had been lucky through this last summer as things opened up again to do a lot of outdoor shows.
Yeah.
That's one of the great things about this band is we can kind of play anywhere.
Yeah.
We can go anywhere. We don't always need amplification. But we did lots of stuff at the Blue Note Park Times Change venue this summer.
Yeah.
And a few things at the Lyric. But it was, we've also done lots at the park in the past. We did have done one of our CD release shows there and have been doing New Year's Eve there for years with the Hot and Dirty Dance Party, which is like a giant 16-piece combination of Dirty Catfish and Dr. Hotbottom. So it was awesome. It was our first time seeing the new renovations at the Park Theater as well.
Yeah.
So they've done an awesome job opening up the space and making it accessible for everybody. And it just feels really big and warm in there. So that show was really special for us. We had a bunch of our previous members come and join us.
Okay.
So I think we had maybe at some point, there was probably like 15 of us on stage. There was a big group of guys. It was so great to celebrate that with a sold out Winnipeg audience and, at one of our favorite venues in the city.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, especially with those new renovations and fitting more people into that space, did it feel good to sort of be able to sell that out, especially as you were celebrating a big milestone for your band?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And we had been lucky through all the whole summer. We had sold out all of the shows we had done, all our ticketed events. We were getting lots of great support from Winnipeg. So, I think that's one of the things about as things are opening up. We're lucky that we've had a lot of support throughout the years from our Winnipeg fans, but we've also been around for a long time. So, it kind of makes sense that coming back there, a lot of venues might go to kind of some of the tested acts, I guess you could say. Yeah.
Now, I should have asked this a little bit earlier, but in terms of the lineup, can you sort of go through, I guess, the current band, like everybody that's in the band, or at least all the instruments that are included in this
sure.
big band?
So across the front, we have two trumpet players.
Okay.
Andrew Littleford, who I went to university with at Brandon University.
Yeah.
And he's an original member. He's been there for the whole 10 years. He's been there since day one. Cool. And then Matthew Walden on the next trumpet player. He's our third full-time trumpet player. But he's been with the band for 3 or 4 years now. Our previous trumpet player, Simon, went on to be a doctor. So he,
okay,
he played in the band for maybe 3 or 4 years, maybe a bit longer, and then studied medicine, and now he's a doctor. And then we have Todd in the middle, who's plays this really unique instrument called a mellophone.
Okay.
We get lots of questions about that instrument because it looks like a giant trumpet, but it sounds kind of like a trombone, but kind of like a French horn. So it's used a lot in marching bands in the U.S. So we're maybe a little bit less familiar because we don't have as much of a marching band tradition in Canada, specifically in Winnipeg. So he plays mellophone, and he's our front man. He's an amazing singer. He's also a really great harmonica player. So that's kind of a unique thing within the brass band world, is to have someone that leads the band with great vocals, because not a lot of it's a real kind of shout chorus type of vocal type of thing, or group gang vocal is more commonly what you'd hear in a brass band.
Yeah.
So having someone that sings lead is a little bit unique, and as well as someone that also plays harmonica and also plays horn. Mm-hmm. Then we have a trombone player next to him, Joel. Myself, I play tenor and Barry. So we've got the five of us up front right now. We have a sousaphone in the back. Steve plays sousaphone, Cody on drums, and Aaron on keys.
Cool. Now I've yet to see you guys live as, but I would
come on.
I would really like to at some point, because I've heard lots of great things about you guys from other Winnipeggers, just from around. Like I've seen, you know, different things about different people at your shows and all that sort of stuff. And it's definitely a goal of mine especially now that things are opening up. And I regret not seeing you at the Blue Note Park this year, because I was there four times throughout the summer. So I do regret not going to that. But may I ask, in terms of your live show, what sort of goes into your set? Like, because I know you guys do some cool covers, but all around, sort of, what do you play all together?
Yeah, okay. Well, now we've been focusing a little bit more on writing our own music and focusing on original compositions. Okay. We're finally just trying to finish up our first album of all original material. So we have been building a lot more music. But we do a lot of, we've done some stuff where we do our own take on pop covers, kind of the brass band arrangement style.
Yeah.
And then we do a lot of New Orleans traditional parade and funk music. So we do a lot. As far as covers go, we would do a lot of Galactic, Dr. John, The Meters, some of those New Orleans funk guys. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of the parade music and brass band music of New Orleans.
Okay. Cool. Now looking back throughout, I guess the 10 years the band has been around, are there any specific like memories or stories of like maybe shows or experiences that were very exciting in the moment that you would like to share?
The first one that comes to mind, which is our kind of favorite story to tell, goes back to, I think it's 2014 or 2013 Winnipeg Folk Festival.
Okay.
Where one of our favorite bands, Galactic, who I just mentioned, were headlining the festival on the Saturday night along with Dr. John, another New Orleans great. And at that point we had been playing a couple of their songs. So our sousaphone player reached out to them to say like, hey, we're in the city, or we're at the same festival. We were playing there as well. Would you guys like to get together and maybe hang out? And they're like, how about, do you guys want to join us for one of our songs at the end of the night? Mm-hmm. So they invited us to come up and play, at the end of Saturday night, Main Stage Folk Fest. So we got to join them. And there's this really cool moment where right as there's this huge buildup section in the music, in the song we were playing called Heart of Steel. Mm-hmm. And then it has a big release. And right at that point, the singer hit a huge, high, huge singing note, and the skies just started raining down on everybody. It's like, almost like, you know, the music brought the rain and everybody got soaking wet. Went back to their campsite and everybody was kind of done for the night. And then when we got back to the campsite after hanging out a bit, we got our horns out and started doing a parade at around 2 a.m. And the campsite kind of came back to life. And we had this big, huge parade throughout the campground.
Oh, cool.
So that was a really special musical experience for all of us. Yeah, that was very exciting.
That sounds really awesome. Now, let me ask, in terms of like, you're obviously a pretty big band do you ever have like troubles controlling like different arrangements and how you're going to play stuff and organizing that? Or generally, are you able to get things through and able to come up with a great sounding piece of music?
Well, we're really lucky that we're all pretty well-trained musicians.
Yeah.
And we're also, because we've been working together for so long, there's no real egos within the band. There's, if someone has, we all kind of know any input that someone's going to give is going to be to make the music sound better. And we respect each other a lot. Mm-hmm. So we don't take offense if someone says, hey, that doesn't sound right. Hey, that doesn't sound good. So we've got a really good way that we work through things together. But also because there are 9 of us or 8 of us in the room, it can sometimes, there can be a lot more talking versus playing in some rehearsals or as we're working things out. So that's always a kind of growing process for us to see how, what is kind of our best way to learn music. But it usually starts with someone bringing in the bones of a song, like either bringing in a groove or a chorus idea or a melody idea.
Yep.
And then as a group, we kind of work that out together, or someone will bring in an idea and then someone else will take it home and come back with some horn backgrounds. But we often would have someone, one of the members would write an arrangement for everyone so that they have something to follow, so that we have the right harmonies or we're playing a chord together. Mm-hmm. But we're all pretty musically literate that we can say, I'll jump on the 3rd, you take the 7, I'll take the 5, whatever we're going to do. And then we can kind of voice lead through the parts. So
yeah,
it is a bit of a balancing act though. Kind of goes sometimes better and sometimes not so good.
Well, that's sort of, that's how it sort of is for, I guess almost every band. And it's awesome that you guys are able to sort of bring this all together and be able to create, big, like great music, within this, you know, amazingly talented band. Now, you sort of touched on this a little bit, but in terms of songwriting with a group like this, is there one main songwriter? As you said that you're doing more original stuff now, is there one main songwriter, or does everybody sort of bring in ideas when they have them? How does that sort of work?
Well, I don't know that there would be, I guess for this coming album, there would be myself and Steve, the sousaphone player, we probably brought in the most starting points.
Okay.
But we do give credit to everyone in the band.
Yeah.
We all kind of produce it together. Or, you know, Andrew's really great at writing ensemble stuff. So he has written some really awesome, what we would call soli sections, which kind of feature the band. So it is really kind of unique in that way, where a lot of people give their own little pieces to the final project or final product. But it's also a bit of a different style of songwriting. Mm-hmm. It's really focused on the brass and really focused on, our main focus is on getting people to move and have it be a really kind of fun music, real live music. So, but this is also our first project where we're working with a producer. So we're working with Murray Pulver on this, who's helped us a lot with vocal arranging and more writing more lyrics and kind of having better lyrical development and structure to the song. So I would say it's pretty collaborative, and then everybody is allowed to bring in something. It's kind of like who's got the time to do the work and who's bringing things in. And for the past little bit, that's been a little bit more weighted towards Steve and myself.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. Now you sort of touched on like the producing and recording of this, but for your new album, what's sort of been the overall recording process for this project?
Yeah, so it's been a long process. We'll just say that.
Okay. I'm sure
it's probably
been
going back. Yeah, with all the everything shutting down through 2020, and because we're such a big band, it was hard for us to get together and rehearse, or hard to get together and come up with ideas because we weren't allowed to. For a while, we were actually getting together at a local like warehouse space that one of our friends has access to, or one of the members has access to, so we could rehearse like 20 feet away from each other. So, the process has been, we've typically been doing 2 songs a day. When we go in, we would do rhythm section or sousaphone and drums together in the room in the morning, early afternoon. And then we'd have the horns come in and track all of the ensemble parts together, mm-hmm. The 5-6 horns together, and then we get together after that to do overdubs. So either for adding percussion, for adding vocals, for adding horn solos, we'd kind of piece that together, and then as well with piano and organ. Aaron's got like a basement full of pianos and full of organs. Yeah. So Moore usually comes over there. He's got 2 giant Leslie cabinets in his tiny basement. So he does we do all the keyboard miking and recording in Aaron's basement. Usually he's got a really cool upright piano in his living room. This like crazy huge, it's like bigger, it's different than a B3, but it's some kind of Hammond that's almost, I don't know. It's just, he's got all these crazy organs down there and mm-hmm. 2 giant Leslies. So they'll take care of that after. So yeah, that's kind of how we've been doing it.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I sort of didn't think about this, but also, especially earlier on in the pandemic, I guess because a lot of you are playing horn instruments with like that airflow, I guess it's sort of hard with the whole COVID situation and gathering and also all those sort of rules apply too. So
yeah, well, like all of the way we'd usually write music is blowing into an instrument. So it's hard to even keep your distance and put masks on and like, you know, hum a tune through a mask and play a guitar or play another string or keyboard instrument. So yeah, it really kind of set us back, but mm-hmm. we're getting close.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you were doing a lot more like outdoor shows this summer, but in terms of things sort of getting to a point where not necessarily getting back to the normal we once knew, but being able to have shows again and being able to, you know, gather in our current like somewhat restricted but accessible ways. Do you have any like specific plans to come or anything really exciting coming up show wise or performance wise?
Yeah, we've got a really busy December. This is kind of our collaboration month.
Okay.
So it's fun to see this come back again. So at the beginning of December, on the first Friday, December 3rd, we're back at the Times Change for our first indoor New Orleans night in about 2 years.
Okay.
And that's an event we'd been doing at the Times Changed for maybe 5 or 6 years now, where we play one Friday a month. So we're getting back to that. That'll be the first Friday of every month. So we've got dates booked through December, January, February, March, April, May, maybe into June.
Oh, awesome.
At the Times. Yeah, so we'll be there every month. And then later this month, we'll be joining our good friend JP Ho mm-hmm. For his holiday show at the Burt.
Yeah.
That's coming up midway through the month. So we've got 4 of us joining him as a horn section. And then the following week, we'll also be joining Don Amiro for his holiday show at the Burton Cummings. So we like to joke that we're the Burton Cummings house horn section through December. and then at the end of the month, we've got our New Year's party at the Park Theater with the Hot and Dirty Dance Party.
Awesome.
Where we do a lot of old funk and soul covers. So that'll be great to get back to the Park Theater mm-hmm. With some great friends of ours. We'll have Joey and Dave Landreth back in the Hot and Dirty band for that. And Aaron Shore, another great guitar player, Jason Sapinski, and then a few others, Haitha Foresight, and then the rest of Dirty Cappage. So it's kind of our collaboration band of this other funk and soul band that's been playing in Winnipeg throughout the years called Dr. Hot Bottom mm-hmm. with Dirty Cappish Brass Band. So that'll be great. That'll be New Year's at the Park Theater. And that's, yeah, so we've got 4 shows coming up almost once a week, starting in about a week. So we're back to being busy.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Now, I like to ask this question. I'm starting to ask it sometimes I forget it, but now I'm making sure to ask it every episode.
Sure.
So do you have any advice for bands or musicians who are just getting started?
I think just follow your gut and do as much as you can. Mm-hmm. I think that you have to make your own opportunities mm-hmm. and find who's going to support you and build your support network. So I think being someone that can get involved with the community and embrace a community.
Yeah.
Anything you can do to get yourself into a community of musicians, it might be being able to get to know some people that are older in the community or more established, or build your own community within your peers who are maybe younger.
Yeah.
But that's what I've found has been the most exciting thing about being a musician in Winnipeg, is that when you meet people, you really feel like you're part of something special.
Yeah.
And there is a really special music community in Winnipeg. And being a horn player, and through Dirty Catfish, being able to meet people that kind of know the band. I've been very fortunate to work with many generations within the Winnipeg music community, and you really kind of see how connected it is. So I'd say try to build your community and work really hard.
So I can definitely agree with that second part there, because with the podcast, I've had, especially starting out and more I like to sprinkle it in. I love to have Winnipeg acts on the show as a Winnipegger myself and as a big fan of Winnipeg music. And I guess I didn't sort of realize the importance of this until I sort of returned back to like going to shows, right? And now that we're sort of back and going to shows, I'm seeing these people who I've had on the podcast, or people that even listen to the podcast, and it's cool to sort of connect with these people in person and to be able to be friendly or to have these connections within the Winnipeg scene. So it's just awesome. And it's an awesome community, a really supportive one. And I can definitely agree that it's just good to make connections and to sort of connect with the community.
Yeah. And you're not really like, not making connections to further your
right
career, but you're making connections because they're all awesome people.
Exactly.
and you're just part of this great nucleus of just exciting. You're just part of something exciting, and it feels really special to be involved with the community in Winnipeg. So I'd say find your community and like embrace it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Before we wrap this up, is there anything else you'd like to add? Where can people find any music you have out, your website, your shows, all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, all of our events are posted on our website, dirtycatfishbrassband.com. And then what we have right now is all up on the major streaming platforms, so you can find us there. And then look out for more stuff coming up, and see you first Friday at the Times.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been great to chat.
All right. Thank you so much to Kyle from the Dirty Catfish Brass Band for coming on the show. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Like I said at the beginning, if you subscribe or follow, depending on where you're listening, you'll get constant updates whenever we release episodes. Or go head down and follow at Talkin' Rock Pod on Instagram and Twitter. We've got lots of great content and interviews coming soon, so stay tuned for that. And thank you all once again for tuning in. I'm your host, GMH, signing off.
Let's talk and rock. It's Talkin' Rock with GMH.